At first, when they were in their cool apartment, I was like, oh, they moved to New York.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And then suddenly, like, they were just in Riverdale.
Yeah, like they've just been hanging out in Riverdale. But then there's like this sort of section later that we've seen no evidence of otherwise on the show, and I don't think we'll see it again, where they're like, Riverdale is great for artists. And it was like Val, you know, which is fine, I guess. I mean,
Yeah,
what
I mean,
coffee
it's
shop is
true.
Val working at in Riverdale? Because we've never been to a coffee shop in Riverdale.
Nope.
No,
They
the
have
only
pizza
place,
and pops.
they have pizza and pops, and the pizza might be imaginary. Pals and gals, and welcome to another episode of XOXO
So
Riverdale.
XO Riverdale. Ooh, that was a rush.
I didn't mind that one. I'm Louis Perlman.
Kate Batter.
It's great to be here. We're going to be discussing Chapter 91, Return of the Pussycats, today. So if you haven't watched the episode yet, watch it first, then come back. This is your favorite Riverdale podcast that is hosted by two grown-ass adults who have better things to do than continue to watch Riverdale, but here we are.
Here we are.
Interact with us on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. We're there. We're happy to chat with you, hear your thoughts on the episodes. What's going on in Riverdale news? I have a news item. You have a news item. Let's do it.
I have a couple of news items, but they're all short.
Great.
So Jordan Connor got married.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, congrats to him. And also, maybe goodbye to him. This episode is sort of weird. Rumors for who's attending the Met Gala, because it's always who's going to go, who's invited. Charles Melton seems to be an invite to the Met Gala this year.
Well, he is gorgeous.
Yeah, it's just like sometimes like Beyonce isn't famous enough for it.
Totally, but
So
this year it's Charles Melton's turn.
yep.
Well, hasn't didn't Lily Reinhart go in the past?
I think she went with Cole, but I also feel like that was a bigger event. They've had to pare it down this year.
Yeah,
And
only
also,
uber famous.
yeah, he's still not as famous as those two. Like
No, he's not.
maybe he's going with someone and like I don't
Maybe
know
he's
who.
going on a date with what's his face that plays Hiram. Maybe the two of them are going together.
Oh, Mark Consuelos.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
I don't think Mark Consuelos would be invited either. Like that's the like
I know he's
if
not famous enough.
he's not famous or like
What if Mark
fashion-y enough.
Consuelos dressed like a giant Dorito and went?
Or in all Old Navy this week.
In all Navy. Exactly.
Speaking of Old Navy, Cammie Mendez has been spotted out and about at Fashion Week in New York.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me. I'm sure she's
No,
just
that
loving
makes
it.
way more sense
Yes, that
than the
makes
Charles.
actually the most sense.
Maybe she was invited to the Met Gala and Charles was going with her.
Oh,
But
that'd be
why was,
nice.
yeah, but like also, why was Charles on the guest list and not her? Like,
Are they still dating each other?
I think they broke up and then might be back
Oh,
together.
I hope they are. But you know what? I don't
Yeah.
care because I'm sick of having parasocial relationships with the people that I admire. Thanks, John Mulaney, the artists. Yeah.
Oh, see, did you read that really long article about John Mulaney and parasocial relationships
I
today?
didn't read it, but I've gotten the Cliff's Notes from Twitter. And let me tell you, let's stop idolizing. Or this is gonna lose us literally the last three listeners of this podcast. Let's stop idolizing the people that are on movies and TV and just, you know, enjoy their work or unenjoy their work, and we don't need to have any sort of relationship with them outside of that,
Yeah, this
right?
John Mulaney news is, it's not that wild, but the reaction to it is wild.
It's so stupid. Yeah, I agree. I couldn't agree more. Anyway, regardless, the most important thing happening this week, which we should take a little bit of time to talk about, is that for the last few months, Roberto Aguirre-Sacasa, who's the creator of Riverdale, his father, Francisco Aguirre-Sacasa, who's 77 years old, has been missing. He's in Nicaragua. He's in Nicaragua, and he is a political dissident. But there's been news this week that actually he is in a prison, but he's been sentenced for treason and conspiracy, which in Nicaragua is not a good, that's not a good situation. And apparently,
Really good anywhere.
it isn't good anywhere, that's right. And apparently, he's being held political prisoner. He is in bad shape at this point, apparently in prison. Before his whereabouts were found this week, the cast of Riverdale released a video. They're trying to raise awareness to the issue because at the time, Francisco was just missing. Now he's been found, but he's apparently in bad shape. And if you want to learn more about this, Google is your friend. I'll post a link to it in the show notes as well. And there's some videos to share from the cast of Riverdale if you want to raise awareness. As a fan community, this is actually something we can do, is sort of, have this story bump it up a little bit using our social media collateral in online. And that is actually something that we can do. And you can use the hashtags Free Francisco and hashtag SOS Nicaragua as
This
well.
is, yeah, this is actually what we're doing to win the new, like, be an activist show.
Wow, Kate.
Is all for clout so we can be Priyanka Chopra.
Because I want to have a parasocial relationship with her, just to loop it
Ooh.
all back around.
Yeah.
So
Great.
anyway, you can find more info about that in the show notes, but I wish for his safe return to normalcy, and obviously it's interesting being a fan of this show, learning about what's happening in Nicaragua through being a fan of Riverdale. Who would have ever thought? That being said, episode 91, let's get into it. Return.
Return of the Pussycats.
So overall, what did you think of this one?
It was so, like, if you cut out all of the singing, I really liked the episode.
I was hot and cold on the musical numbers, which we'll get into musical number by musical number.
Yes.
I was also like kind of sideswiped that this was the musical episode for this season.
It's not. I don't think it is. We'll get into
What?
that.
There's
I don't
another
think.
one?
I think there's another one because people were talking to, like, there was like someone in the cast was like, "I promise Cole sings." Like,
I
I
apologize if
remember.
my sound levels are bouncing all over the place for our listeners, because I'm normally don't laugh this much on the show, but this is all like absolutely cuckoo beans to me, in my
Yeah.
opinion.
By the end of the episode, I was like, thank God we're done with the musical episode. And
Yeah,
then I
me
remember that
too.
bit about Cole. I was like,
Yeah, like I was like, oh, they got people who can actually sing to do the musical episode, and they didn't base it off of an embarrassing musical. What a great fix. All done with this, the end, goodbye. Like,
no.
and then this wasn't even the musical episode, this was a musical episode.
And it includes music from a musical.
It does include music for musicals, so isn't that enough? Haven't they
Wait
done,
for, oh
because
God, it's
also
enough
like
for us.
this was pretty good. Like this
Yeah.
wasn't like a fucking train wreck like a lot of the other musical episodes have been of this show.
I think it was when it comes to episodes with more than one song, this was maybe the best.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. I
I
think you're
think I
completely
think
right.
Heather's has some benefit in that it actually like severely moved the plot forward.
That's true. Yeah, out of
But
all the
I would
musical
never watch it
episodes.
again. I would never watch it
Certainly
again.
not. No. The Hedwig one I would maybe watch again just for the final number that I really loved. Made me cry. But other than that, agreed, like whatever. The Hedwig one I thought was the least embarrassing until this one. This one is not embarrassing for the most, I mean, there was some stuff in here where I feel like there was some numbers that the cast that was in this couldn't quite pull off. But for the most part, I thought this was pretty fun. Also, it re features the return of Josie and the Pussycats,
And the
who,
introduction of, did you, I texted Louie about this.
of course,
Super exciting new character who I don't think we're going to see again, but was very exciting for us here at XOXO.
okay, so
Or we might.
I feel like we should get into this for a moment. A few things, just about this episode in general before we get into it. First of all, I think that this episode tried very, very hard to wrong some rights, or great job, right some wrongs that the season one and season two did to the characters of the Pussycats.
Mm-hmm.
And where they basically, it was like the only black women on the show and they were given no agency on the show whatsoever.
Yeah.
So we have Melody narrating this episode. This is the first, I feel like these are the first lines the character of Melody's ever had on an episode of Riverdale.
She said like two things and it was very thrilling because it was notable.
Totally. It was like, oh, that character can speak. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So instead we get her to narrate the episode, which is cool. And I like these characters quite a lot, actually. I kind of like them more than our regular crew of Riverdale peeps.
Yeah, which are they setting us up for a spinoff?
I was going to ask you if you thought this was a backdoor pilot. And I feel like the end of the episode in particular made it feel like it was certainly a backdoor pilet. Yes.
I mean,
the title card at the end.
Yeah, they put up a logo. I immediately was like, I should Google this, and then did not. But it really, if this isn't a backdoor pilot, I don't know what is.
I am going to Google it right now.
Okay.
And cut this out. Anjali. Pussycats. Backdoor. Riverdale spinoff.
But if you put in Pussycats and Backdoor, you know you're going to get Backdoor Lover.
Backdoor spinoff. Yeah, so everybody's conjecturing whether this is the spinoff. Nothing's been said yet about the spinoff. Mm-hmm. So it was very clear they were working super hard to make this a backdoor pilot.
Yeah.
Whether it happens or not, we will see.
Yeah, but and
I'd like to see it. I'd see it.
I'm more interested in a Josie the Pussycat spinoff than Katie Keene. That's for sure.
Certainly. And also, too, I mean, a Josie the Pussycat spinoff where they're going across the country solving mysteries in a bus is sort of, and playing shows, is sort of a Louis-centric type of show for them to make.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
There's a new live-action Scooby-Doo coming out soon.
There
I think
is.
It's live-action.
And also an RAS-produced Powerpuff Girls as well.
I feel like I just saw that they canceled Powerpuff Girls.
Oh, did they? Goodbye.
I think they may have.
Bye.
But yeah, I know the Scooby-Doo. Mindy Kaling is show running the Scooby-Doo, which this would be kind of similar to, but I also am way more likely to watch a Mindy Kaling show than...
Yeah, a Mindy Kaling Scooby-Doo I'm much more interested in than a boring white guy Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And more than CW Josie and the Pussycats.
It's funny, I pitched a Riverdale-ized version of Scooby-Doo on, like, the Riverdale Reddit board a few years ago, so they clearly stole the idea from me.
Yep, they 100% stole Scooby-Doo from you.
Yeah, exactly. I thought of that. I thought of a serious Scooby-Doo.
It was weird that you invented Scooby-Doo and get no credit.
I know, it's really weird that I'm the creator of Scooby-Doo. Let's get into this episode.
Yeah.
So, I like this first scene. We're getting caught up with the cats.
Yeah.
Melody went to law school, but didn't feel she fit in at Harvard.
Mm-hmm.
So she wrote a novel, as one does.
Yes.
And we don't really know what the novel was about, but I'm assuming it's sort of about her experiences in Riverdale growing up. It's like similar to Jughead's, but from like a black female perspective, I'm assuming.
It looked like it was like a young adult fiction, but considering Tyler Perry optioned it, yours makes like a little bit more sense.
Yeah, totally.
But only a little bit, because if I think about like what Tyler Perry makes, it doesn't vibe with most of it.
No, it doesn't feel like a real Tyler Perry. It's not about a family coming together and dealing with a tragedy, but maybe it is. We don't know.
Or maybe it is a Madea situation.
Well, maybe it's something they could easily insert Madea into.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Madea's summer storm.
Exactly, Madea's summer storm. So Val's going to act in it.
Mm-hmm.
Val's apparently a painter / actress / barista.
Yep.
A hyphenate like me, you know.
Yep. And we meet their partners.
So their partners, it's important.
Yeah.
So one of the partners, Melodies, is Natsy Woods. It's the first time seeing her. She in the comics is traditionally Chuck's girlfriend. So it's fun to see her in this context, I feel. And I wish we had a little more from Nancy in this episode, but
Yeah.
it is really nice to see on a show like Riverdale, woman of color, gay relationship, I am gonna say.
And a seemingly healthy relationship.
Yeah, they seemed in pretty happy together.
Yeah.
And then we have the man of the hour, one of the most important
Chachi.
characters in our lives, Alan M,
We got Alan M.
whose last name apparently is Mabry.
I
I didn't want to know either.
didn't
Alan M, who seems much smarter and more pulled together than he does in the 2001 film Josie and the Pussycats.
And I will say, if this is a backdoor love or backdoor spinoff, it seems like we'll get more Alan M in the future, and I just would love more Alan M in my life.
I agree. It was great to see him. He seemed lovely. And he was trying to get Val to marry him. And I mean, how could you refuse Alan M? It's disgusting.
It's insane.
Or his favorite, my favorite nickname for him in the Josie and the Pussycats film, Adam 12. Anyway, so we know that Josie, kind of snubbed them, which she did in season two, I believe, of the show.
Two or
Two
three.
or three, and like it happened very abruptly, and then the Pussycats were just gone.
Yeah.
And we didn't learn about their feelings at all. So I did like that we kind of learn about the fallout from that. And then Josie has gone missing
Yes,
and
and
shows up.
then very quickly appears.
Yes, shows up at Pops wearing a fabulous leopard print jacket, which I loved. And then we get, Ashley Murray back in the show, and it reminded me that she is another lovely, delightful actor, and that not having her around on these shows is of detriment to these shows.
Yes.
Yeah, but they had her
Yeah.
do a bunch of crazy bullshit, of course, like they do all the
Right.
characters, but she's
Like
great. I
open.
really like her.
Yep, she came in swinging with a hot Celine Dion hit.
Yeah, so yes. So this was the moment where I was like, oh, this is the musical episode. Great, cool, love it, very cool. But you're telling me it's not, which, I respect, I guess. I don't know.
You don't have to respect it, you just have to acknowledge it.
Yeah, I just have to acknowledge that there's going to be another one. So this is It's All Coming Back to Me, which is a great song. So, just a little bit of background about this song for maybe our younger listeners. This was a Celine Dion hit in the 90s and was written by Jim Steinman, who's most well known for writing Bat Outta Hell, the famous Meatloaf album. And Meatloaf covered this song as well later on in his career in Bat Out of Hell 3. But the reason why I bring it up is like this song was written for like a belter. And I did enjoy the inclusion of the song, but I did feel there were a few moments where she was straining a little bit because it's just not really her thing.
Yeah,
I don't know if you felt the same way.
no, I did. It. She came in, and I was like, I don't know. Celine's like a little more supported,
Oh yeah, well
breath-wise.
she's a little more guttural as a singer. Yeah, she's a bit more of a powerful singer. That's nothing against Ashley Murray. It's just like let's throw another song on an actor who can sing and like force them to fucking do this. Like this is what Riverdale does, you know?
And they had it's usually solo, so it was nice to have the harmonies because they brought in all of the girls to sing at each other with no audience. But
Well, yeah, because this was non-diegetic. This was fantasy world, which I'm fine with. You know what I mean?
yeah, I'm just
Fine with
surprised
it.
that they picked this.
Yeah, I mean, I was happily surprised that they picked it because I thought it was fun to have on the show and it is a really good song. But I wish they'd maybe, I don't know, arranged it a little more for her vocal range.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened there. But I did think it was fun. And then she's at the hotel.
Oh.
And first of all, do you remember what her fake last name is?
I did not write it down.
It's Newmar. So she's naming herself after Julie Newmar, who played Catwoman in the 1960s Batman. Which I feel like specifically this season of Riverdale, maybe it's a specific writer who's now on the show, has like a real hard on for 1960s Batman and is just doing any chance to have a reference to it.
It feels like they saw that essay that defines camp and uses it as the example for most of it, but didn't really get it.
Or like rushed understanding almost. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because also I feel like I still feel like the whole Rat King things last episode felt like a weird Batman 60s camp villain guy as well, you know?
I had forgotten about that, so thanks for bringing it up.
I apologize. And then, of course, the scene, just to refresh our listeners, where they drop down from the ceiling and they make like dumb, there's dumb music playing that sounds like Batman that's
Yeah,
actually
with some
in the
flap
air.
songs.
Yeah. Anyway. So
So
then
she's
Josie
approached.
schools Hiram.
Yes, I paused to write down what she said. So Hiram wants her to stop singing because they're in the same hotel.
Yeah, and what's Hiram doing at a hotel right now?
Unclear.
Yeah.
And he says, she says, and I quote, "Damn, Mr. Lodge, nice to know you're still a little bitch."
Yes. And
Chef's
she
kiss.
calls him a bitch again, I feel.
Yeah,
Yeah.
which is such a delight
It is a
because
treat.
this show is never that sassy, and they did it. They, I'm glad.
This show's never that sassy, and also like it kind of set a precedent for the episode where it wasn't revolving around Hiram. And
Yeah.
we've had a little too much Hiram this season.
Yeah, and it also set up that like all of the Pussycats had like agency for the first time.
Yeah, really in the show's history.
Like this feels like a line that like maybe we could have caught like Betty or Veronica or Cheryl saying, but like having it come from Josie made a big difference.
I agree. It was quite surprising, and it was really, really, really nice. I agree with that, definitely. So then we have this whole thing going on with Ronnie and Tabitha. And this is fun because we normally don't see these two characters interact at all. And they're kind of a fun pairing. And Tabitha wants Ronnie to help franchise Pops. And this is sort of coming from left field. And I'm a little confused as to like what's going on with like Ronnie's financial standing right now. I don't know if you are too.
I think what's happening is she's doing okay herself, but she knows that if the Ponzi thing comes out, she'll have to pay that off.
Yeah, so she's trying to
So she's
gain
trying to
collateral in an
fix.
honest way to pay it off.
Well, I don't think she wants to pay it off. She's trying to like get away to blame it all on Chad without
Yes,
losing her money.
that she's a legitimate businesswoman.
Yeah, without, yeah. Because when
And
he gets sued, her money would go with it, and she doesn't want that to happen.
follow-up question to that. What is the deal? Oh, it's me, Jerry Seinfeld. So are they buying and selling stocks? Are they stockbroking her and Reggie? Is that what we were seeing several episodes ago?
I think they're investment advisors.
They're investment advisors and they just get a cut of, is that what's
Yeah,
happening? They get a fee?
I think that's what it is.
Or they get a percentage if the stocks improve in value, or
Maybe it's that part's
that's
not
really
totally clear, but
unclear, right?
I don't know that that's on the show as much as it's just me not understanding that industry and them assuming that teenagers do.
Oh yeah, I'm sure teenagers know way better than you what's going on with that. Yeah,
Yeah,
totally. Oh my
for sure.
God. Yeah. Ugh. So okay, yes. So that answers all my questions about all that. And then we have this scene. I just want to say that's this scene from Mr. Weatherby.
He was great this episode.
He was great this episode. I've never seen him so excited about anything.
Never.
Ever. It was so cute.
He's so excited for Josie to be there. And I was so excited to explain why Archie stopped teaching music. And that was not resolved, but
No. I don't think Archie ever taught music. I think
he.
Archie taught ROTC, and I kept saying, you might be getting mixed up with me just belaboring the point over and over again. Why isn't Archie teaching music?
I feel like we saw him in a scene like teaching people guitar.
Oh, really? At
Because
one point?
he has no business teaching anyone anything.
Except for maybe how to be, have deep emotional issues.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Josie's going to teach a music class so that she can record her album at Riverdale High, which is all very cute. I love it. What a great twist. And then we had a scene where we learned that Alexander Cabot was coming in. Now, just a note, they were pronouncing her last name with a hard T the entire time, Alexander Cabot. And I'm almost certain that the film pronounced it Cabot, which is what I've always called her. So I just thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, could be just who knows.
Yeah, anyway. So she invested with Chad, and now, her money's in trouble. So Veronica's basically trying to recoup the money that she lost, right? That's basically what's going on.
She's trying to hide that she lost the
That's
money,
right.
that the money's lost.
Yes,
She's
and
not trying
she's
to get it anywhere. She's just trying to pretend it's still around.
doing that by suckering Alexandra into investing in pops. Yes.
Which we learn more about later, and I hate
This episode is directed by Robin Givens.
it.
And the last episode was directed by Maiden. So everything's going great for those ladies directing. Then Josie, this scene is very silly. Josie is like the star of her music class. Like, what did she instruct her students to do? Like, I'm gonna sing this fun song and you're gonna all support me. Like,
And did she teach them the choreography? Was that part of music class?
once
I remember
again, I'm willing to give that a pass because this is a musical episode, but yeah.
in high school, in one song, one time, our choir director tried to add like truly like barely any choreography, like a clap with like a little bit of a lean, and he was bullied into never doing that ever again.
Yeah, I'm sure that didn't work out too well for anybody.
Nope. And I was in drama club, but I was not gonna do that. I believe it was like a doo-wop-y song too. It was just not a
And you
good.
were like, no, I am a
No.
teenager and this makes me feel worried. Yeah. So then Archie comes in and sees Josie teaching this fun thing. And that's very, 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 very cute, I felt. And then, like, we get this catch-up scene where they're all going out for food or for drinks at the White Worm. And, like, the first thing that Archie brings up is, like, and then we had a sexy fireman calendar. And isn't that from, like, 6 years ago now?
I have no idea. I wrote down the two biggest things I noticed is that Josie was featured in Entertainment Tomorrow and Vanity Fair.
Yes, Vanity Flair and Entertainment Tomorrow.
And then I.
This podcast was brought to you by Vanity Flair. If you need to know everything that's going on with the hot celeb goss, if you need to know what's happening with John Mulvaney,
And
open up
Olivia Dunn.
and Olivia Dunn, open up that Vanity Flair, and it'll be right there for you.
The other thing I really took note of was that Archie was somehow the only person reading the room.
For
Like he,
once, yeah.
yeah, it was just weird that he was the one that was picking up on how uncomfortable Josie was.
Yes. And I like that we had a scene like this felt like, once again, good course correction writing, where they really took an honest look at Josie. And she was like, I really was never friends with any of you. Like, you actually all treated me sort of weirdly and badly. And, it was great when I got out of Riverdale.
Yeah,
Yeah.
good for her.
Agreed. Agreed. Now, Jughead's tattoo is very visible in this scene. And in the past, I thought it was oh, what's that character named again? Something the Mary Martian, who's like this silly Archie character, but it's not. I mean, this is like somewhat inexplicable when it comes to this series, but it's the comic book version of Hot Dog is on his arm. I don't know if you noticed that. Yeah.
I did it.
Well, that's what was happening there. It was the comic book version of Hot Dog, which is odd because I believe we saw Hot Dog for all of 30 seconds of screen time in this entire series.
Yeah.
But Jughead loved him so much, he got him on his arm.
We've seen so far more Bingo than Hot Dog.
Yes, we've seen a lot of Bingo now. Absolutely. Both private Bingo and Bingo the dog.
Yeah, I think honestly, plot-wise, we probably know more about Bingo than we did about Vegas, too.
True. Well, Vegas was like, he's the family dog, and this is what's happening with him, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, but Hot Dog, they were like, you need to look after this dog, and that... And then we saw him for like 2 seconds. That was the end of that.
And then he
line.
Didn't look after the dog.
Yeah, he didn't look after Hot Dog. Yeah, exactly. And Hot Dog's so... Oh, I love Hot Dog. Anyway.
Sweet Pea comes in this scene too. And yes. It was nice to see him. And it was nice too that like... Because Josie did know him and get along with him.
Yes, that she was an actual character Josie had interactions with on the show.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I thought this was all kind of sexy.
The scene or the musical numbers?
The scene, the way that they hooked up together.
Okay.
I thought that was all cute and sexy. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like they were being really kind of nice and respectful to each other in a way we don't normally see with any sort of physical relationships on this show.
Yeah. Again, this episode was... packed with healthy relationships.
Yeah, heads and tails better than normal. Maybe that's what this Pussycat spinoff is going to be, is it's going to be like the plots of Riverdale, but with everybody has a healthy relationship.
Does Riverdale even happen in a world with healthy relationships?
I don't think so. I think that like when that bus goes off to places unknown for mm-hmm. their own series, they cross a sort of dimensional border and it's going to look a lot more like Ted Lasso.
Yeah, they're all, I was going to say, they're all the Higginses.
Yeah, exactly. I liked when she was leaving, and she was like, I have a lot to do today. And he was like, I totally understand, it's okay.
Yep.
And she was like, that was everything I needed, that was so great, Sweet Pea. And he was like, awesome. And then he, like, buried his face in his pillow because he was having so much fun with Josie and, like, was totally cool with not being too emotionally reliant on her. Like, I liked all that a lot.
It was delightful, so we'll never see it again.
That's correct. Also, he's very cute right now in this show. Oh my God.
Yeah.
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 Anyway.
we get back-to-back musical numbers that I had to look up.
Totally. Before we get to that, I just want to say, they're having their catch about what they're doing and what's going on. I was sort of surprised the two characters were still in Riverdale, but fine, I guess.
Yeah, that was not clear. I felt like...
At first, when they were in their cool apartment, I was like, oh, they moved to New York.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And then suddenly, like, they were just in Riverdale.
Yeah, like, they've just been hanging out in Riverdale. But then there's, like, this sort of section later that we've seen no evidence of otherwise on the show. And I don't think we'll see it again, where they're like, Riverdale is great for artists. And it was like Val, you know, which is fine, I guess. I mean,
yeah,
what coffee shop is Val working at in Riverdale? Because we've never been to a coffee shop in Riverdale.
Nope.
No.
They have pizza and pops.
They have pizza and pops. And the pizza might be imaginary.
We saw it once.
Like them actually eating it?
Yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so I guess Mel and Val... and the other thing about Val is that she's a protester.
Yeah,
so she's an activist. So she's trying to win that competition contest as well, like we are.
Yes, yes, with Julianne Hough and Usher. Who...
Yes, and Usher, my favorite voice of the far left, Usher.
Yeah, no, known so well for his activism.
I know, known so well for his activism. But, like, they made a really big point of saying that she was peaceful in her.
Yeah.
And that made me uncomfortable.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. But Riverdale, much like this podcast, is totally nonpartisan.
Oh, yeah. We're Oh yeah, we're so nonpartisan, the two of us. Yeah.
Very much.
Anyway.
So these songs, did you look them up?
No.
So the first one is called Physical, and it's by Dua Lipa, who is someone I'm so familiar with and could not name a single song.
Yes.
Like, she's so famous and I don't know any of it.
Totally.
And then the other one took a very long time to find. It's an original by Haley Law.
Okay.
But she's also recording on us that goes by like Haley, but it's like one word.
Okay.
And it was like that. So she was singing her own song.
Ah, that's her own song that she's hyping on the show.
Yes, which we get plenty of, we'll find. Yes. So we see Tabitha in a power suit is my favorite Tabitha.
Yes, I am into this. Also, I'm just happy to... do you think that if Alexandra knew what Tabitha did to Jughead, she'd still want to invest with her?
I mean, they don't seem to have a problem with what Tabitha did to Jughead.
I know, so no probably. One does, except for me. I'm like, yeah. What? Don't do that!
There's a lot that needs to be forgiven on this show for me to be willing to invest in anything.
That's fair.
So Alexandra's deal with Pops, well, it gets even more complicated later, but at this point she's like really into the idea of singing diners, which are nightmares.
Singing diners, the only one I know of is
Starlight, right?
The Starlight Diner, which is in like Times Square.
Yeah.
And can be fun. And I've had friends that have worked there that say they really do enjoy working there, that it is a nice place to work.
Uh-huh.
But I've been to Starlight where there have been some like messy things happening because people don't have enough self-awareness to understand like what to be doing in a singing diner.
Yeah, it's a type of thing that really can only exist like around Times Square.
Yeah, like with a bunch of out of work actors.
Like Times Square or like Universal City Walk, like right outside Universal Studios in Florida where you can walk around without a ticket.
Yeah, like tourist land. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Universal City Walk in LA, maybe. I mean, you know, yeah, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, I don't know. That sure. I think it would work in Orlando better than LA because it's a bad idea.
Yeah, totally. It is. But it gave us this excuse to sing Little Shop of Horrors.
Yep.
Which was odd.
Very odd.
And like a strange fit for the episode in the show.
It feels like they meant to record, or they fully did record something else and then didn't get the rights were rescinded and they had to do this again because so much of the dancing and clapping was so offbeat. Like, and the clapping was audible too. Like, it was just audibly, it was like, little shop. I can't even do it because it was so weird.
I feel, though, like, props to all the actors that were in that scene for committing so hard and trying so hard. Also, props to Casey Cott, who they added to that scene for no reason, just dancing around, just being like, Kevin loves this. Like, that was his direction. And he's like, okay. Like, he was trying so hard, that poor guy.
We could have loved Little Shop of Horrors, and then... think of how much they had to blow it for us to be like, ugh.
Yeah, it was pretty weird. But I am going to give props to sort of this entire sequence. I mm-hmm. liked how few white people there were in this whole thing.
Yeah, this was just Kevin dancing weird.
Just Kevin doing some real white guy dancing, as a matter of fact.
Oh, yeah.
But instead it was just like all this stuff going on with the, which I liked, which I thought was cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah. It feels like, or maybe they like recorded it at one speed and then like aired it at a different speed.
It did feel a little faster.
It felt, everything was so slightly off beat.
It was odd. Yeah. It was very odd.
It wasn't, for a second, I was like, you know, sometimes you're like, the soundtrack gets off from like the visual, but the clapping was in time with them.
Yes, yes.
Like, the audio was not fucked up, they were.
It was odd. Also, like, Tony playing fast and loose with her pregnancy, I guess that, like, in fantasy world, she wasn't pregnant, or she could dance and sing around, despite the fact she was, like, due any moment.
You can do that. That's normal.
You can dance and sing around when you're due any moment. Yeah. Cool.
People.
This is me being sexist. I apologize.
Yeah, women run marathons in like their 8th month.
Okay, it's, cool. That's fine. Yeah. I didn't realize that. I thought that was sort of the time where you're like, meh.
You, like, usually it's that you don't want to because you're feeling like, ugh.
Yeah.
But you can. Like, there's no, like, medical reason.
Kate, how are you feeling? I think I need to hear that again.
Ugh.
Yeah.
There's no, like, medical or safety reason not to. I mean, if she were doing flips, I'd say, like, maybe safety. There's, like, a bit of a concern, but.
Yeah.
It's not, and like she said too, she was like hoping it would induce labor a little.
Yes, the dancing.
Yeah.
But what induced labor happened later, which we will get into, which will be.
Yeah, what this did induce was beautiful product placement.
Oh my God. Old Navy!
Old Navy! Check out these. And it was like very specific jean cut for toddlers that were way too big for a newborn.
Yes.
It was just like.
They were like, I feel like people do that. They get gifts for quote unquote babies that are really for like 2 year olds. And then it's like, well, she'll grow into them. You know what I mean? But it's really like, I don't know how sizing for babies works. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, which is fine. Cause they're right. Like they will grow into it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just like, if I had opened a present and been like, wow, thank you for the extra stretch Old Navy jeans and flare cut and dark wash.
Exactly.
Like it was so specific. And who are they marketing that for?
Yes, I agree.
Who was that for? The 80 Bryant commercials work so much better for me. I'm still not going to Old Navy, but...
Well, yeah, but you're also, yeah. This is for people who don't know who 80 Bryant is, who might be some Riverdale watchers.
You know what? Old Navy has really great running shorts.
Yeah. So then we get the scene where Josie reunites with her mom.
Yes.
Mayor McCoy. Robin.
Sierra.
Robin Givens.
Yeah.
What's her first name again?
Sierra.
Sierra McCoy. Yeah. Where did we leave this character? Do you remember? I don't really remember what ended up happening other than she was with Tom.
Zaddy, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like she just kind of disappeared because
they didn't really give her a send-off. She just kind of wasn't on the show anymore.
Yeah.
Well, now she's back.
Yeah.
And then we get this scene after the act break where we learn about what happened to her father.
As soon as it started, I was like, did her dad die? Yeah.
Yeah, her dad died. I thought that Ashley Murray, the scene between Robin Givens and Ashley Murray was played really nicely and was quite heartfelt and sad, and I was feeling for the character. And I actually thought flashing to Berlin, where she was about to perform, that actually felt kind of redundant to me. I don't think it really needed it, surprisingly. Like,
no.
It seems kind of odd to me, to be honest. I just kind of wanted to stay with her for that moment and have that connection to the two characters.
Yeah. What took me out of it a little was that Sierra gave her father, like, some of his... Sierra gave Josie some of her father's old orchestration. And it was beautifully tight. Like, so you know it's the same thing, like I don't write music, but like he wrote it like fully orchestral.
Not only did I notice that, which was odd, but also I feel like one of the titles of one of the songs looked like it was basically written in papyrus.
It may have been.
Like, I was like, well, that's a font.
I was distracted by like how clean the notes were.
Definitely.
And like you can.
How dirty the paper was, but how clean the notes were. You know what I mean?
There's programs that let you do that, but also wasn't he like a jazz musician?
Yeah.
So maybe he would write out tabs, but that doesn't strike me as something a jazz musician would do, would be right.
Well, the whole idea that he was writing songs for Josie.
Yeah.
Made me feel like, you know, a lot happened that we just kind of had to close the gaps where he had sort of made peace with the style of music that she was interested in.
Yeah.
And that, you know, perhaps he realized how lucrative it would be for him to start writing for his daughter and that he could do it. And maybe, you know, because the thing about that character, I don't know if you remember this, is that he poo-pooed pop music. He was very mad that she was doing pop music. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm still caught up in the orchestration though, because
even if he were
writing it out, the guitar and bass would still get tabs. The vocalization would have the notes like that, but this was not vocalized. There were no words or anything, and the notes were too fast for it to be like anything.
Yeah.
Which means this was written for like a string, maybe string, most likely like a woodwind.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I know that like there's been like some flute and stuff recently and like maybe some six sax solos, but like I don't think that's what it was. I think this was just like someone found like their old recorder music in their parents' house when they were helping clean, and we're like, I got some.
Totally. Totally. Here it is.
Hot cross buns.
Yes, that's yeah, exactly.
It was not. I was able to note that it was not hot cross buns.
Yeah. So then, you know, Melody says no to Tyler Perry because she really wants to make the movie with Val.
Yeah.
This all seems really abrupt, and I don't know really how invested I am with any of this anyway, to be honest. But I was like, well, that's really very nice to completely put the kibosh on your career. Do you know what I mean? Like, in order
to.
So I thought that was a little weird, but that's fine. That's what's happening on the show, because we need to get to the Pussycats properly reuniting. So that's what's happening.
Yeah. So are you ready for the next act? Or do you have more in there?
Well, then we had the stuff about Pop's chocolate shop.
Right.
And the instant milk. That was still in this act. And I feel like that's important.
Yeah. Alexander sees the accounting for Pop's and is trying to come up with ways to cut back. And I'm sure there's many things she could have done, but she really focused on changing the milkshake recipe.
Yes, into instant milk, which is gross.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get basically the most history we've ever gotten about Pops.
Yes.
And I liked this a lot. I thought this was really cool. That it was a safe haven for people of color during other times where other places in Riverdale was not.
Yeah.
And it is the first episode really of the show that properly acknowledges institutional racism instead of it just being like, there were black people serving with white people in World War II. See their ghosts. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like that shit that's been in previous episodes. So I liked this, actually. I thought this was really good.
Mm-hmm.
It screws up Ronnie because then, you know, it doesn't feel right anymore for them to be working together and whatever, and it's hard. And then Mel and Val apologize to Josie in this act as well because they didn't realize Josie's dad had died, which is not necessary. They didn't do anything wrong.
No, I wrote that everyone this episode across the board was too easily forgiven.
Yes, and also everybody across the episode was very nice comparatively to normal. This was like a very heartfelt episode, which I liked, to be honest. It's what I've been asking for on the show, so I was into it. So they're going to record the song together, and then Archie's like, Josie and the Pussycats back together, where am I, sophomore year? And this is all really cute. And then they're going to help the gang save Riverdale because they're going to put on a reunion show!
Yeah. I really quick want to jump back because I forgot to bring this up. So, when did Jughead get back?
I was going to bring that up too. I'm so sorry. I didn't. Yeah, Jughead's just back now for this episode.
He's just back.
Yeah, from New York. He walked back.
He walked back.
Yeah, exactly. 800 miles or whatever. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, totally.
We come back from this act break and like Tony says a really confusing thing about how she wants the babies to see the Pussycats live.
Yes.
So she's glad she didn't have the baby.
That's right.
Like, the timeline was not linear.
Well, she was like, I want the baby to see the Pussycats live in my womb.
Yeah.
Also, Dr. Kirtle, killing it. Love Dr. Kirtle Jr. in the scene. More Dr. Kirtle.
Huge fan of the Pussycats.
This was a little odd because in the time, you're going to be like, Louie, let it go. In the timeline of the show, the Pussycats never became successful.
Right.
What happened was they were this teen singing group at Riverdale High.
Mm-hmm.
They were all very talented. Josie left them.
Yeah.
Josie assembled fake pussycats who were Veronica and Cheryl, I believe. Then that didn't go anywhere. Then Josie went off to follow her singing career. So Josie's really the one who's famous. The fact that they were all wearing pussycat shirts and stuff, I was like, well, that's not really correct. Like, it's not like the Spice Girls getting back together. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It feels, first of all, happy 25th to the Spice Girls.
Always. Always happy 25th to the Spice Girls. I've been saying that for 25 years.
But I think it makes sense for, like, Weatherby and the other people, the other, like, kids, to have Josie stuff and be excited to see them because he was, like, a supportive principal and they were their friends. But Kirtle is kind of off. And it feels like they brought him into this for two or three just like great lines. Someone came in and was like, we need more Dr. Kirtle Jr. And someone was like, why?
Maybe and they were like, because I've got to some our jokes. Podcast and they were like, oh, the fans love Kirtle Jr. Let's throw him in this scene. Yeah.
Yeah. Or someone like wrote jokes and everyone likes the jokes. So they went to like jam them in somewhere. Mm-hmm. And this seemed like the most, because first he walks in. And before he explains that he's a Josie fan, Betty goes, did someone die?
Totally. Which is understandable for her to ask.
Yeah, that's the only time we ever see him.
So then, what song is this? You looked it up. Is this another original song?
We will say first they do the Josie and the Pussycats theme, but like sexy.
Yes, they do this sexy R&B version of the Josie and the Pussycats theme, which is fine.
Yeah.
I think that's fine. I think it's fun to have it on the show. Mm-hmm. Don't you wish, you know what I'm going to say. Do you know what I was hoping for after they did the theme?
Is it right here I wrote, please do three small words?
Yeah, I was like, couldn't they have done like a sexy slow version of three small words or pretend to be nice here?
And yeah, I mean, I wrote
the best fucking thing ever.
Please, when they said like we're gonna sing together again, I wrote, please do three small words.
Yep, but no.
Nope. Instead, they do a song that I think is written for the episode.
Yes, it seemed original because
I could not find evidence of this song anywhere except for track listings for the episode.
Hey, great! It's the third song that is original for Riverdale. So good for them, because when I went to the Riverdale fan panel, the Archie Comics panel, a year before the show aired, John Goldwater Jr., publisher of Archie, said, expect new songs all the time. Get pumped for new songs on Riverdale. And I felt cheated. So great. New song. Love it. Great.
Great. I will say, I don't know what brought this up, but I wrote cool brag, Josie. Did she like talk about like,
she was talking about River. This is the Riverdale nourishing artist thing. And she was like, Riverdale nourished me. Riverdale nourished Mel. And then she was like, Riverdale nourished Val. And then she was like, and our very own Jughead Jones and Cole Sprouse, I believe it to be Cole Sprouse and not Jughead, the character, does the most awkward glass raise and grimace that I've ever seen in a performance, where he seemed so angry that he had to do that, which I thought was so funny.
He did seem disappointed to be in this episode. Whatever it was Josie said, though, was like vaguely putting other people down, but framing it as like a nice thing.
Yes.
Like it was definitely like a really weird, like, ew situation. But I don't know what it was, so there's that.
Also, this is the scene during this musical number where Archie, for no reason, kisses Kevin on the cheek.
Mm-hmm.
Which was odd, but that's fine. Yeah. It's very cute. I thought it was cute.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Then Josie sings this Nina Simone cover.
Yeah.
To honor her father. Mm-hmm. And then her father's ghost appears and is finally proud.
And I wrote, I hope this is the musical ep, but I don't think it is.
And then the song induces Tony into labor.
But before that, I will say we watched this whole song. Like there were four performances in a row where they didn't even cut between things. We just watched them perform. Like usually they have like a B plot going on and like
totally.
To the two.
Totally.
Nope. This is just watching people sing.
You know what? That's maybe why this episode was more linear for me and worked better for me. the normals. I was just like, great, I just get to watch this nice music now, you know?
Yeah.
And then
Tony has the baby. So Tony goes into labor and like Josie stops the performance in a panic and everyone's like scrambling. And Josie goes, is there a doctor in the house? And then Colonel Jr. is like, I'm a doctor. And then, which is, I think that's why they brought him in.
Yeah.
And then Fangs is like, oh, like we're preparing for home birth. But also like, it takes so long. And some women, it's very fast, but like, they really panicked for a first contraction.
Yes, they did, for sure. Yeah. And then Fangs and Cheryl go help her.
Yep.
Which I think is adorable. I think it's very nice.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just made me think, like, I thought Tony was going to raise that baby with Fangs and Kevin. Or is that something that I made up in my mind because that's what I wanted to happen on the show?
That's what was supposed to happen.
Okay, so now it's she's raising it with Fangs.
I guess.
Yes.
So before we have the baby be born, they decide that like Josie's going to be a spokesperson for Pops.
Yes.
Which is insane.
Yes, it's weird.
And then like they're going to go on tour together, which is going to get Val famous enough to then star in Mel's movie, which is nice.
Yes.
But also very throwaway for what could be a major plot point.
And also, it's going to be a book tour for Mel, so it works out for everybody.
Yeah, and then we find out that the baby's a boy.
Mm-hmm.
And we find out because Cheryl comes off like out like pulling off gloves because Fangs was the one that trained for a home birth, and Dr. Kirtle Jr. is a doctor, and Cheryl delivered the baby.
Yes.
Why? Because it's Riverdale. Her mom entered through the walls and helped.
That's right, exactly. And the baby's name is Tony, just like Tony, named after Tony's grandfather.
Anthony, yep.
Yeah, Anthony, and which is very cute.
And then I wrote, so Kevin and Fangs are still co-parenting? Like, very unclear.
Unclear.
It did seem like they were kind of, like, reconciling after this baby, but, like, Kevin wasn't in there. And it seems like Tony wasn't, like, being modest. Like, I don't know why Kevin was not in there. It was...
Then we had the best scene in the entire series of Riverdale, where Val and Alan are talking, and how Alan is just like, I understand that you need time, and that doesn't change the fact that I think you're the greatest.
Uh-huh.
And I was just like, honestly, in an interracial relationship like that, all I want the hunky white guy to do in shows is just be like, I think you're a wonderful black woman, and I'm just going to support you in all your choices. And that's maybe all I need to see on TV for like 2 years.
It was so nice, and it was so reasonable for him to be like, you know, you're not ready, but that doesn't mean that this relationship isn't going to work out. Like,
agreed.
You have some stuff to do in your life before you want to settle down, and I really hope that happens, and I'm here to help you do it.
Definitely. Definitely. Much, 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 much better.
Classic Alan M.
Classic Alan M. Yeah, absolutely. Then he brought her the pizza, the type that is nice to eat.
And then Mel and Nancy, like, break up.
Ish. No. I don't think they break up. I think that they just, she wants to stay in Riverdale, Nancy, which is understandable. So it's probably going to be painful for Mel in this new series that might happen. Yeah.
And this new series that will include Sweet Pea, I guess. Yep, he comes to Josie, he's like, I'm going to be a roadie, I'm going to drive your bus. And I wrote, that's a very rash decision.
If the new series is the Three Pussycats, Alan M., Sweet Pea, Mayor McCoy, that's pretty dope for like the main characters, in my opinion. I think that's awesome.
I was like immediately, I mean, I already brought up Spice Girls 25. I was like hoping when we get the spinoff that it's like the Spice Bus, where it's substantially larger on the inside and that Sweet Pea is the Meatloaf character.
Yes. The bus was awesome.
It was so cool.
Art direction was so good.
It was so fun.
Yeah, it was really cool. Like, I feel like they put a lot of care into this episode in a different way than they have in episodes in the past. Yeah, it's like they were into having the Pussycats on the show as much as we were, you know? And then it ended. Oh, we. Josie's dad was probably murdered and there was probably voodoo involved.
Such a throwaway. The guy's name, he shows up, his name
Yes,
is
his name's
Toot
Toot
Sweet.
Sweet. Yep.
And then like he kind of explains that her dad was like into like witchcraft and voodoo. And I wrote like, did voodoo kill Josie's dad? And
Yes.
it's not clear. And then Sierra says, we've lived in Murderdale long enough to know when there's something afoot. That's not what
Yeah,
she says. She did say
she's just
Murderdale.
like, absolutely, yes. This is what's happening off
If
on
people
our
die,
adventure, which I
if
thought
people
was.
die under suspicious circumstances, it's murder. We've lived in Murderdale long
I
enough.
kind of like that though, that they were just like, yep, okay, off we go.
So this is like the magic mystery tour that they are on is to solve her dad's death while touring.
And Melody said, magical musical mysteries await us. And that was the end of the episode. And then they had that weird title card that was unexplained, which was very weird.
It was like about halfway through, I was like, this seems like suspicious. And then that last scene, I was like, oh, they're setting it up. And then we got the title card, and I was like, oh, yeah,
Well, we'll
this is.
see what happens. We'll see if it gets greenlit. But I don't know if I'd be down for a full new podcast about that show. But I do think I'll have fun watching it and us maybe doing some reunion episodes about it every once in a while. Yeah. All right. This has been a bit of a longer episode. Let's get into the end. Who was on your power list?
So number one was Vegas.
Sure.
And then I put Josie. She's connecting, reconnecting, going on tour. And then like kind of split between Tabitha and Veronica. And that's it.
Sure. Yep. I had Josie, Alexandra, and Toot Sweet on the power list because he really came in and really, came in with the plot there.
Oh yeah, right at the end,
Yep.
with a great name.
Who's on your crush list?
Obviously Alan M.
Yes, the hottest guy in Riverdale.
And then Sweet Pea.
Yep.
And then I put Mel because I didn't know what to do because Alan M and Sweet Pea were so far ahead.
Definitely, definitely. I had Alan M, Nancy, and Melody. They were lovely.
So we both had 2 out of 3.
Yep, 2 out of 3, absolutely. All right, next week, what's going on? It's not going to be able to top this.
No, 92 is called Band of Brothers.
Oh, it's going to be some war bullshit.
There is already a new Band of Brothers podcast out, and I hate that Tom Hanks is out here stealing our thunder because if there's one thing I can say, it is that our podcast is bigger than Tom Hanks.
That's correct. And on that note, this has been another episode of XOXO Riverdale. As we said, reach out to us if you want. We'd love to hear from you if you're enjoying the podcast or if you have other opinions. Totally cool. Find us on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. Thanks to our editor, Anjali Mercado.
And our theme songwriter, Louis Aronowitz.
I'm Louie Perlman.
I'm Kate Vatter.
Bye.
Bye.